Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Stephanie Anderson, part one. We'll watch a clip from Radiating Joy and much more. Well, welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Stephanie Anderson. She works for Focus. She was on a college campus and was evangelized by servant of God, Michelle Dupong. Michelle Dupong's cause has been opened up by the Diocese of Bismarck in 2022. And so we're going to talk to Stephanie about Michelle. She had a deep friendship with her and what Michelle was like.
And this is the first of two shows with Stephanie. And we're now going to a clip from Radiating Joy.
The purpose of the Thirst Conference is we want to bring people to an encounter with Jesus Christ. Thirst speaks of the desires in every human heart. But that thirst can only be filled with God, with the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. As he was dying on the cross, he said, "I thirst." He wants us to be with him forever in heaven.
Well, Stephanie, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much, Father.
And I saw the beautiful documentary, Radiating Joy, on Michelle Dupong, and you were a close friend of hers. She was a missionary for Focus at the campus you were going to school. Tell us about the first meeting you had with her.
Sure. I was a freshman at South Dakota State and very thirsty to grow in my faith. I grew up in a Catholic home, but I didn't know how to pray. And I knew that I wanted to hear the Lord. And I had just gone to a Focus conference and was coming back to campus and came into the Newman Center and wanted to sign up for a Bible study. And I wanted to know if we had Focus missionaries because I had just heard about them. So I walked through the chapel and there were these four people praying in there. And so I went and found the front desk, and those four people just happened to come out, and they were our missionaries. They're our Focus missionaries, and Michelle was one of them. And so I kind of shared, I had this profound experience where I encountered God's love for me, and I want to be in a Bible study, and how do I get involved? And they were like, okay, great. And from then, Michelle kind of took me under her wing, and just befriended me, really. Uh-huh. Invited me to things at the Newman Center and events and to her home, and spent time with her. Towards the beginning of our friendship, we had a very pivotal conversation that I'm still grateful for her to this day. She said, "Stephanie, if you want to go deeper in your faith and be involved in Focus with us as a disciple, we look for people who are faithful, available, contagious, and teachable." Mm-hmm. And you're these things. I'm noticing you're this, mm-hmm. this, and this, but you're not this. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see you grow in that. And it was this beautiful, humble, loving conversation, but she was calling me onto something greater, to mm-hmm. let go of some vices or sins in my life so that I could say yes to being a disciple of Jesus. And it wasn't probably very easy for her to mm-hmm. do that, especially mm-hmm. with a new student she didn't know super well. But she knew the vision of why we were friends, because she wanted me to be friends with her best friend, with Jesus. Yeah. You know, and so that's kind of how our friendship kicked off. She was on campus with me for 2 years overseeing my discipleship chain. And then she switched to a different campus, but we stayed friends, which was such a gift.
I was struck by that in the documentary, that she was able to, because she struck me by the descriptions, very bubbly, affable, mm-hmm. you know, and could be everybody's best friend in one sense, but at the same time, she could talk turkey with you, right?
Yes.
She actually even challenged one of the missionaries.
Yes.
I guess it was a fellow missionary at that point, mm-hmm. but she was the new kid on the block and challenging her. Mm-hmm. But it was like with a Christian boldness. I mean, the sense I had, like, not something she relished or enjoyed as part of her personality, but hey, this is God's will here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I She discipled now Sister Gianna, who's a Carmelite, and then Sister Gianna discipled me. And as we've been talking about Michelle and her life, we're like, wouldn't it be just awesome if she was the patron saint of difficult conversations, you know? just because she didn't shy away from them if it was to draw you closer to the Lord. Yeah. Because she knew her best friend, she knew Jesus, she knew her relationship with him. And if there was something that she could enter into just a conversation of fraternal correction to mm-hmm. help you grow. But a majority of her conversation with you and her relationship with you is just acceptance and love and getting to know you.
Yeah. Maybe for our viewers, you could tell us a little bit about the culture of North and South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Michelle's from North Dakota, you're from South mm-hmm. Dakota. Mm-hmm. But did you grow up in a rural area?
I grew up in the biggest city in the state, but I grew up, my mom was on a farm, my dad was from a small town, so I spent a
lot
of time
in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, Sioux Falls, yeah.
But what is the culture like? She was in Haymarsh, right, which was a small, mm-hmm. very rural place.
Yeah, you know, on the farm, you're completely dependent on the Lord. You're dependent mm-hmm. on prayer and taking care of whether it's going to rain or it's going to snow or there's going to be sun. And so there is a deep faith in the culture of farm families and just those rural communities. And they're hard workers. They're going to work really hard to do what they need to do. And then they're going to abandon themselves to the Lord's will and trust deeply. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of caring for others, a simplicity about life. Life is not fast. Life is very mm-hmm. slow, and the relationship with the Lord and church is a central part of that. So she grew up in a very faithful Catholic family who went to Mass every Sunday and prayed before meals. And
they lived real close to the church, right?
They lived real close to a church. It wasn't their parish. So St. Clement's, I'm not sure how long it's not been a parish, but they loved that church. Michelle loved this church, and it's just down the hill from where she's buried now. Okay. And when we went to go visit, she would take us in and we'd pray while we were mm-hmm. there.
And it sounded like her father kind of started this farm from scratch, right? Or he bought it or something. He was new kind of to farming, wasn't he?
She was born in Colorado. She was born in Colorado, and then they moved up there as a family and had a few more of her siblings up there. And then he started farming up there.
And characterize it, they actually had to do without sometimes? Was it pretty?
I think there was living very simply, which is across farming culture. There are some seasons where you have abundance and some where you don't.
Yeah.
And I think that they did know how to live very simply on the farm.
Yeah. So when she got to school, she encountered missionaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever talk about that experience for her?
She went to North Dakota State and was involved in horticulture, and a couple of her siblings had gone there and gotten involved in the Newman Center on campus and loved it. Loved the community there, and her best friend, who she was roommates with in college, also got involved in Focus there. And I think really, she grew up faithful. She grew up in a Catholic home, but I think there was just a new level of invitation into mission when she was a student there, that by the time she left college, she wanted to go be a missionary. That was what her heart was set on.
Right. How would you describe her personality?
Michelle was very bubbly, very joyful. I can still hear her laugh. She wasn't going to be the person that stole your attention, though. She wasn't going to be the life of the party, but she could draw you to do anything, anybody to do anything that she asked you to do. So just a very charismatic personality.
Yeah.
And she was just wonderful. I met her as a missionary, and so her first thought is, who are the people that aren't involved in this social environment? And she'd find the people who were on their own or didn't have friends or were new to the situation, and she would go befriend them. And they were the people that she loved on. And many people talk about how she made them feel like they were the only one in the room. And I certainly experienced that when I spent time with her, that she was very present. She was with you. Mm-hmm. She wanted to hear about you and know you. And just a very lighthearted joy about her.
Mm-hmm. And she was from a family, was it six kids?
She had a brother and sisters, a bunch of sisters, yeah.
And she was kind of in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I heard her sister interviewed on a podcast, who's very faithful Catholic, and So it was interesting to hear her talk about the family. It sounded like they were very much were raised in a faithful home, but
yeah.
I guess focus really spoke to her heart mm-hmm. to kind of ignite something. And yourself, you said you had an encounter, but that was before you met Focus, right?
I had an encounter at a Focus conference.
Oh.
So I grew up in a Catholic family, and but when I got to college, I was so thirsty to know, is the Eucharist real? I had friends who were in other denominations, and I saw them living out their faith in a bold way that I hadn't seen a lot in the Catholic faith mm-hmm. and my friends who were Catholic. And so I was like, I don't know, but we believe in the Eucharist, so is that real? And a Focus missionary was like, this is why we believe this. And I was like, all right, I'm sold. Yeah. And so then I had a profound encounter with God loving me and realizing my identity as a daughter when I was at a Focus conference my freshman year. And that's when I met Michelle, was I had this profound experience. What do I do with it?
Was it in adoration or was it a talk?
It was a talk. I still remember it, by John Zimmer. And he was talking about your identity. And he was tucking in he talked about how he would tuck in his daughters and he would bless them and say, you are a beloved daughter of God. And I just heard that in my own heart so profoundly. We were like, wow, I am a daughter of God. And if that's true, then he knows every detail of my life and I need to give my life to him and I need to ask him what he wants me to do with this life, because it's a gift from him. And of course you hear those things as you grow up in a Catholic home, but it hit me in a completely different way when I was a freshman, that wow, that's true, and that's true about me. Yeah. Right.
We're gonna take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Stephanie Anderson. Well, Stephanie, I came across this quote in one of her blogs, because later, after leaving Focus after 6 years as a
mm-hmm.
missionary,
yeah.
she worked for the Diocese of Bismarck, I think adult faith formation. So she would write a blog, and she said, I think we can get caught up thinking that holiness is imitating everything the saints did. And we forget that God is calling each of us to follow him and carry out the mission he gives us in a unique way.
Yeah.
We shouldn't and can't judge our holiness by comparing ourselves to others, whether they're the saints in heaven or our neighbors here on earth. Now, why does that make you smile?
I just think, something that has been so special about Michelle and this whole journey of her becoming a servant of God is when I first started growing in my faith and I met these holy saints, I admired St. Francis of Assisi so much. And his life just seemed impossible to emulate. I don't really even understand exactly what he did. I just know that he was madly in love with God, and I want to be madly in love with God, but I'm in a different era and a different lifetime. And so to hear her write that is just so beautiful, that it can look so unique. The most important thing is your relationship with the Lord. And she really, her story in becoming a servant of God made the saints feel more tangible, that there are so many saints with so many different stories and they all encountered God in different ways and came to him in different ways. And my way is going to be so unique. God's going to plan something so unique for me. So that's just, wow, that's beautiful.
I know. I think it gives, I read it, it gives you hope.
Yeah.
You know, that she writes later, she said, to allow his love to pour forth into our relationships with others and say, well, I can do that. I got relationships with others.
Yeah.
I got a relationship with Jesus, right? I can let that, so it's possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was reading, I think of that kind of upper Midwestern kind of energetic can-do spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it goes deeper. But let's talk about, she worked for the Diocese of Bismarck, and during that time, she had this cancer diagnosis, complete surprise, and given just months to live. She lives like a year, but just terrible, painful struggle. Yeah. And you just had a sense, I know on the documentary you spoke about it so beautifully, but just how much she grew in all that.
She did.
What's your reflection on that?
I think she had the docility to grow in it because of the choices she made before she ever got to that year, and the way that she was allowing herself to know Jesus. When we were on campus, We met every single week as a little discipleship chain, and we'd pray together, and we'd pray for campus, and we'd take out these little mortifications from a jar, and they'd be something simple like no coffee for the week, or no condiments on your food, or read for 15 minutes, you know, things like that. And I remember her talking about how, you know, if you give up a bag of Lay's potato chips, that doesn't seem like a big deal at all. But the little things begin to foster your ability to say yes to the bigger things. Mm-hmm. And she was teaching me that, you know, 10 years before she was diagnosed with this very hard moment and story and diagnosis. And so then when she got to that point where the Lord is demanding more of her, do you trust me still, Michelle? This is going to be difficult. Do you trust me still, Michelle? Do you trust that I love you and I'm taking care of you? And she did. Mm-hmm. And she said yes. And so all those little ways of I'm living out the faith, I'm going to mass, I'm praying, I'm talking to this God who created me that I was made for. And now here's this next level of almost purging, you know, of this is so difficult. But she had everything that she needed from the Lord to say yes to something even harder because of the little ways that she had already said yes to the Lord. So then in that year, she did change. I mean, even her sister Renee, who took care of her that whole year, who had gone to nursing school, said by the end of the year, she was unrecognizable. And it wasn't just because she physically changed, though she did. She physically began to look so different. But
she lost so much weight.
She lost weight, the coloring in her skin and all of that. But she was unrecognizable from her, just her personality and from a spiritual perspective, because she was so surrendered. Mm-hmm. There wasn't resistance. By the end of the year, there wasn't resistance to the suffering. Mm-hmm. There wasn't resistance to the difficulty. She just thirsted for Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was probably the most powerful point on the documentary, was when Renee tells her, like she said at one point, she said, who are you? Mm. I mean, she thought that to herself.
Yeah.
And I thought that said more. You had these great theologians talking about her and everything and all the theology, but I thought that said more. That line right there,
yeah.
I mean, the transformation. And that's the heart of Christianity, right? Jesus saves us by the cross. We share in that cross. The heavy lifting of holiness is done there. And she was living it by that constant yes. And then early on, right, she had that surgery that removed like her reproductive organs and stuff. And it's like she was had a boyfriend, wanted to get married, wanted to have a family.
Yeah.
Off the bat, she had to surrender all that.
Yeah. I think that was deeply painful for her. She grew up in a wonderful, large family. She wanted to have a family. And it's one thing to have a diagnosis of cancer, and then as it starts to take those things away, you know, and trusting the Lord in that, I think that was very painful, which as people are asking for intercession, there are many families who can't get pregnant or asking for her intercession and finding great miracles. Yeah. Hopefully we can, you know, prove some of those to be real miracles.
Yeah. And then when you hear this, and you did get to see her at one point when she was sick, did you see things earlier in your friendship with her that pointed at this, or saw it coming, or prepared her, or like any hint of the greatness of this sacrifice that she was able to make, you know, in peace?
Yeah, before she got sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember there wasn't something that said, well, she's holier than the other missionaries that I met. Or she is outstanding in some way that like, wow, she's gonna be a saint someday. I mean, when I first met her, she was just a phenomenal friend, somebody that I absolutely wanted to imitate. And I admired deeply the relationship that she had with Jesus, and I wanted that for myself. And I knew she wanted that for me.
Yeah.
And that was at the foundation of our friendship. So initially there wasn't like a, oh wow, like you're so extraordinarily different than the people around you, other than maybe she would have looked extraordinarily different than your average college student. But compared to the community of people at the Newman Center who are trying to grow in their faith, you know, she kind of just looked like us, but just the next step.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until really when she started suffering that it was like, okay, wow, all those little hidden things that you're doing, the daily prayer that you've stayed committed to, the Eucharist that you've received on a daily basis for years at this point, you know, are giving you all those beautiful graces, you know.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And And so we want to do a second show with you too, to talk about your current work with Focus and also some of those things she taught you about prayer, because that just seems to be so vital. But also, I think the point you bring up about it, to me, it seems like textbook evangelization. It's like you're first a friend.
Yeah.
You're walking with them. And then she just modeled that in an extraordinary way, right?
She did. She did. Yeah, it all started with friendship and just spending time together. And she really got to know me, you know, and I got to know her. She shared herself with me. Yeah. I remember one time we were driving back from Sioux Falls to campus and her parents called and she said, "I'm with my friend Stephanie." And just to like hear her say like, "Oh, I'm not a job to you, even though you're a missionary, you know."
Not a project.
Yeah, I'm just your friend that you loved so well. And
but it wasn't like a suffocating texting every half hour. Of the year.
Yes. Just wonderful.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Father.
It was moving for me to hear these stories of a friend of Michelle Dupont.
Yeah.
And just how that friendship was just so much rooted with the evangelization, and that Michelle referred to her as her friend, you know, and just had this effervescent personality that could connect with people and seek out people that needed friendship. I thought that was a great point. Because her family described me not as one, she wasn't one to like want to be the center of the room, but she had an attractive personality and she would seek out people that were maybe needed some help.
Yeah, I think in many ways, Michelle's story reminds me a lot of the story of St. Therese. She often would see kind of those that were difficult to talk to or get along with in the convent. And I think that's a special gift to have that patience, to have that willingness to listen to those, or really to reach out to those. And again, you know, I think with our modern culture and society, there's a lot of brokenness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wounds that we face that sometimes we know about, that we don't know about, that a person's really having to deal with. Just to be that, I think, Christ-like person, to be approachable, to be warm, to just have that openness, you know, to hear them out. Because I think a lot of times today want to be heard. You know, they just need somebody to speak to at a personal level.
Yeah, sometimes we can go in there and with this very strong, I'm right. I am right. So I'm going to tell you I'm right. And it's true. We have the fullness of truth in the Catholic faith. But I think in evangelization, we need to go in there with kindness. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be kind before we're right. And I remember being a postulant, a floor director in this studio, and a layman was talking about evangelization, and he talked about becoming friends first, you know? And it takes a long time. It's taken a long time for me really to get that point. And to see a person's needs, you know, how can we help them? How can we be kind to them? Where are they hurting?
Yeah, I think you told me once, you know, we always feel like we have the right way of doing it, you know? But really, we have to be open to God's graces and just meet those where they're at.
Yeah. Well, Michelle was just a model, a focused missionary, and she witnessed just beautifully to evangelization and was at different campuses and had such an impact. We're going to do another show as well with Stephanie to hear about the life of prayer that Michelle taught them and also Stephanie's work with Focus. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you and give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Captivated in my mind and praying for we're gonna walk down to the Jordan. We're gonna walk down to the Jordan. We're gonna walk down to the Jordan just like Jesus did. Yeah, we're gonna walk down to the Jordan. We're gonna walk down to the Jordan. We're gonna walk down to the Jordan just like Jesus did. Just like surprise, surprise, I fell again, and it's even worse this time.
Cause now I know I'm missing out on that sweet can of wine. Well, I'm done with